It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, quitting time on The Drive. Congratulations, 5 o'clock, you've made it. Another weekend is here, and our last Tennessee football-less weekend for quite a long time. Oh, it's getting real, ladies and gentlemen. It's getting real. Mm-hmm. Top 5 at 5 brought to you this afternoon by Rickard Ridge Barbecue. This would be a great weekend to make the quick drive up I-75 to Rickard Ridge, grab you some ribs, some chicken wings, some chicken thighs, something good for the weekend. Go check them out online, RickardRidgeBBQ.com. Bear?
Thank you, Russell. According to Major League Baseball Pipeline on Twitter, the Chicago White Sox have called up first-rounder and former Tennessee pitcher Garrett Crochet to the majors, the first 2020 draft pick to reach the big league.
Wow. Wow, that's cool. Congratulations to Garrett. I mean, that was pretty darn quick from being drafted, a month or two ago to in the big leagues.
If you got it, you got it. You definitely got it. Number two, the Houston and Baylor football game for this weekend has been postponed because of COVID-19.
Oh, I thought you were going to say shark attacks.
I wish.
You wish.
One of Baylor's position groups did not meet the threshold for competition, apparently. So, I think this is something that we're all going to have to get used to this football season.
Unfortunately, yes.
All right. This one's, I hope you're sitting down, Russell. Tennessee Oilers wide receiver A.J. Brown out against Trey Wallace's Jacksonville Jaguars with a bone bruise on his knee.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. He's
hate to see it.
Key part of the team. I would hope the Titans can still beat the Jaguars without A.J. Brown, but it's not helping.
Hope ain't going to get you anywhere on Sunday, buddy.
I just try to, $10, should I, try and stretch that into two McDonald's meals? Should I hit up the Waffle House and just pay the $3 extra out of my own pocket? Should I? Like a little nukes. How am I going to spend Trey Wallace's $10 that he's so generously donating to the Smith cause this week?
Yeah, for me, I'd dig it a sack full. All right, number four. Let's check in on the leaderboard at Wingfoot. Patrick Reed has stopped the bleeding and is back to even par for the day and is now once again atop the leaderboard at 400 par for the
Patrick
Bryson
Reed.
DeChambeau sits in second.
Okay.
Pardon?
Patrick Reed looking for his second major.
Yeah. Other notables, Tiger has, as they say, pooped his pants.
Oh.
Yeah, let me, it's way down here. Yes. I don't think Tiger will be playing tomorrow.
Need to see that.
He is tied for 92nd. Plus six on today's round, plus nine for the tournament.
Not very outstanding.
Through 11. He's going to have a really smoking hot last six or seven holes here to make the cut. And finally, I don't know if you guys saw this last night. So Cleveland was one of the few NFL stadiums that were allowing fans in. Socially distanced, very limited attendance. Yet they still had a brawl with each other.
Well, I noticed there looked like a lot more fans at that game than just about any other NFL game I've seen this year besides the opener at Kansas City. There were a lot of people there, it seemed like.
It doesn't say in the article how many were there, but it was a brown-on-brown fight with multiple police officers needed to break it up.
Okay. Hopefully, cooler heads prevailed there. I feel sorry for the police officers in that situation because they're the ones who've got to get in there and mix it up with the drunken yahoos. Is that it? Did we lose Bear?
No, I'm still here. Okay. You were doing that thing you've been doing to me lately where you don't really participate in the top five at five and top four at four. But that was the top five at five. Back to you, Russ.
Yeah, I was responding. I know what you want from me. A couple of guys got in a fight at a Browns game. Okay. Water is wet. Air is dry. Voltaire on Twitter says, how's it feel to have two salaries, Russ, yours and Trey Wallace's? This will be the first time I've taken Trey's money. I mean, like, when it comes to, like, foolish Wallace bets, Bear is still the undisputed king of that one.
The Florida one will never be topped.
$100.
Hey, quick addendum to the top five at five. Well, we've got some, I should have put this in one of them. Some breaking local news overnight.
Late breaking news. It's said to the fan-run breaking news desk then.
Yeah. Halls High School is going virtual for 2 weeks. And in addition to that, that means the football team will be shut down until at least October the 5th.
Hate that for Scott Cummings and his kids.
They had a really good season going out there.
Yeah, they looked good.
Yeah, so hopefully they can get everything under control out there and get back to playing football and get the kids back in school.
Guess, would it be poor taste to suggest that gives new meaning to the phrase, Halls has it?
Yes, but that's hilarious, and I will chuckle.
As long as everybody's okay. The end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, the top five is brought to you by Rickard Ridge. Folks, if you haven't been to Rickard Ridge yet, or if it's been a long time since you've been, we invite you to take advantage of this weekend, last opportunity without SEC football to take the quick drive up I-75. Looks like we've got a great weekend of weather. Highs expected to be 75 degrees both today and tomorrow. Not a drop of rain in the forecast. Get on up there, Cove Lake State Park. Take the kids. If you don't want to go in, just get takeout. RickardRidgeBBQ.com. Check out their full menu. I like to go up there occasionally and just get like a couple of orders of wings and take them home and eat them throughout the weekend. Maybe a rack of ribs, something like that. You can eat on the deck out there and enjoy the beautiful scenery at Cove Lake, or you can eat inside, and they've got a really great socially distanced setup in there at Rickard Ridge Barbecue. Go check them out. Let them know you heard us talking about it right here on The Drive. They'll take great care of you, and you will be glad that you went to Rickard Ridge Barbecue, Cove Lake State Park. Our phone number, if you want to jump in here, is 865-546-8200, 546-8200. If you want to join, as we've been breaking it down to levels that can only be described as beyond scientific here on The Drive this afternoon. Cade Mays is almost eligible, I guess. We'll find out.
One step closer.
He's still got to get approved by the SEC. I mean, I don't.
Thank you.
Yeah, again, if Georgia were vehemently fighting this thing, and it doesn't sound like they are, they just, for the initial appeal, they're just like, we're staying out of this. They didn't try and block it, but they didn't write a letter of recommendation either. Now, if they were trying to block it, I could see where Sankey would have a hard decision to make. You don't want to PO anybody in your league, certainly not one of the two teams that might have legitimate national title aspirations this year. But that's not the case. You know, Kirby's not – doesn't – I'm sure he would prefer that there's some sort of punishment for leaving his program, but I seriously doubt he's losing a lot of sleep over this. You know, he's trying to win 10 games and see if he can get back to the college football playoff. I don't think he's spending a whole lot of time crying over for what his case is, spilt milk. For Tennessee, it's a big deal. So I could be wrong, but I just don't see at the end of the day Greg Sankey putting the kibosh on this thing?
I mean, not this year. I mean, this year doesn't even count. I mean, even if, you know, I've arguing against my previous argument about it from earlier in the day. Now that I've thought earlier in the show, now I've thought about it. I mean, this year doesn't even count. It'd be good for the league to have him playing.
Well, and I like what Cole Kubelik said. I mean, if it's going to happen next year anyway, why not just go ahead and get a jump start? Because if we're sitting here a year from now and saying, well, everybody gets a one-time transfer in conference, out of conference, right, it doesn't matter, then poor Cade Mays, poor Joey Gatewood, poor whoever the kid is going from Georgia to Ole Miss, like these guys got the shaft for no reason at all in a season that practically doesn't count. So, like, I would expect some sort of crazy, doesn't make sense ruling from the NCAA. I wouldn't expect that from the SEC. I would expect the SEC to do what's right. And listen, they might have some qualms about
right.
it. Yeah, like Greg Sankey might have, this might be one of those things where he holds his nose and lets it go through. But this year of all years, why start something where something doesn't exist? Like all the headaches
exactly.
that he's having to deal with down there. And I can't imagine. That's got to be a tough job.
Go ahead and stamp his papers and be done with it. You don't have to have it on your desk.
Yeah, exactly.
Anymore.
One less problem you have to deal with. Yeah. You don't have to deal with an enraged Jeremy Pruitt, Mark Stoops, Lane Kiffin calling you up and saying, what in the world are you doing?
Like, right. You bank some goodwill from those guys, too.
Yeah, exactly. This entire situation is over as soon as you rubber stamp it.
I thought Cole did Cole's concerns about it, what Cole Kubelik said earlier in the first hour. If you missed it, if you're listening, definitely go back to our podcast and listen to it. That was basically what I was trying to explain to you and couldn't do it as eloquently as Mr. Kubelik did. My feelings on the whole deal. So,
well, hopefully it goes through. We'll see. It is Tennessee, I think, is going to have a really nice offensive line this year with or without Cade Mays. But with Cade Mays, obviously, he's a really good player. So that's going to help a lot. And in a season where contact tracing might cause guys to miss time here or there, you're going to need as many bodies as you can muster this season. So Tennessee really hoping to have him out there. The other big topic we discuss there in your Rocky Top report, wrapping up hour number two. Tennessee gets a lot of these guys back at practice yesterday, and not full strength. Still a couple of guys missing. Two players missing out of the secondary. They're pretty important pieces. But a lot of guys coming back yesterday, and a good practice report for the first time in a couple of weeks. So it was good to hear some positive vibes coming out of the Tennessee camp after a couple of weeks of, well, you know, you don't have guys
disaster.
Out there. And, I don't know, disaster. But I always felt like he was just saying, look, I always thought the Pruitt we had heard for the past 2 weeks was basically his way of saying, look, guys, we've been working really hard. We think we have a good program. We've made a lot of improvements. But just in case we fall on our face out of the gates this year, just in case we look really sloppy again, I just want y'all to know that the reason is we've had a lot of guys not practicing because of contact tracing. That's what I felt was he was just kind of laying the groundwork for, you call it an excuse, I call it managing expectations.
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
I think I don't want to call it managing expectations. I think this Tennessee football team should actually go to Columbia and win by 10 points or more, especially with the talent that they have and the South Carolina breaking in so many new players. They should be a team. I don't, but there's so much uncertainty. I won't feel good about Tennessee until next Wednesday. And that's after you get the Wednesday test. I mean, even Friday, to be honest with you, just because we don't know who's going to be making the trip and who's not going to be making the trip to Columbia.
I cannot.
The crazy part is if they test positive or they have to go to contact tracing, they got to put them in a rental car and drive them back to Knoxville. They can't fly back or do anything with the team.
I can't imagine the intensity of Pruitt. And I don't know, maybe they're practicing tomorrow, Sunday. But, like, the speech of, guys, I know it's the last weekend with no games. But please go home. Please go home and don't be around people. Don't go out to bars. Like, I don't know. He doesn't seem like the type to beg his players to do the right thing. He seems it's kind of like to, you know, threaten with a fire and brimstone type speech. But
just delete Tinder for the weekend, please.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
Swear to God, boy, if you swipe right, we're going to have a problem.
Well, and here's the thing is, like, if everybody tests negative Wednesday and Friday, and then they get together and you have a positive test Sunday or Wednesday of next week, you're kind of going to know, have a pretty good idea of who was following rules and who wasn't.
I wouldn't want to be in front of Trey Smith if that news happened.
Well, and that's probably the better message, rather than your 44-year-old football coach standing up there banging on the drums. Hey, you know, knuckleheads, don't go out. I think it probably carries a lot more weight if you have Trey Smith up there saying, if I hear about any of you guys out there at a nightclub or house party or something like that, you'll have to answer to me.
Mouse's ear.
I don't think you want to answer to an angry Trey Smith.
No.
Seems like a unpleasant conversation, shall we say. Joe Rexroad.
Trey and his buddy Cade will probably be standing right next to him.
Yeah, Joe Rexroad of The Athletic coming up next. We'll talk about the upcoming football slate with him, get his take on the Cade Mays situation as well. Stay tuned. The Drive, Fan Run Radio, back with more after this.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russell Berry, Trey back with you. I'm pleased to be joined now by Joe Rexroad of The Athletic. Good afternoon, Joe. How are you, sir?
All right, guys. Ready for some NFL football in Nashville and hopefully the only fanless NFL game in Nashville this year.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see an empty Nissan Stadium Sunday when the Jacksonville Jaguars come to town. And always an interesting AFC South matchup. What are your thoughts on the Titans' initial performance of the season in Denver Monday night?
You know, I thought it was pretty good, you know, given the lack of preseason. Not that the Broncos didn't have the same situation. And, of course, the Broncos had some, you know, two huge guys missing, Von Miller, Cortland Sutton. But didn't help that Rashawn Evans goes out early, punching Jake Butt. And, you know, basically if you have – decent professional level kicking, you win that game comfortably, and it made for a real interesting night with Steven Gostkowski, and makes him probably the player to watch Sunday, I guess.
You think Gostkowski, you remember the scene in Major League when the guy's like opening up his locker and you see the red tag in it, he's cut. Is that Gostkowski going into work the next day?
Oh man. Well, you know, he probably knew, he knows this team's history from last year. You're talking about five total kickers, four place kickers, and one kickoff specialist. And knows that, you know, I mean, the fact that he's the fifth most accurate kicker ever, Vrabel knows him well, and he kicked the game winner. He probably figured he was good for a week. But I tell you what, if he has another game like that, then, yeah, he should be head on a swivel.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was toast then. I guess there's some contractual things there, and his reputation is solid, but I mean, that was hard to watch the other night, Joe. You think basically he gets one more chance, right?
I mean, yeah, like I think if he has one more total just meltdown day, then yes. I mean, I think they'd have to be really looking around. You know, it's obviously you miss one like 47 yards, and then he gets one blocked. So, you know, what he said, and he didn't make any excuses, but he what he said kind of added up that after the block he sped up a little bit because he hooked the next two. But, yeah, man, like if one of those is an extra point, you know, I mean, it was hard to watch. And then, of course, hey, he said it. He knows exactly how it goes, man. Those cameras are just going to follow you all over that sideline too, and that's just how it goes. So it worked out well for him that he got the chance to pop through the little gimme at the end, and maybe he'll get hot now and figure it out.
Hey, what's the feeling like there in Nashville? You mentioned no fans at the game this weekend. Is they're feeling that the next time they line up, and I think it's at Minnesota next week, and then Pittsburgh the week after that at home. Do you think there are going to be some fans in there for the Titans and Steelers?
Yes. Yeah, so the Mayor John Cooper announced that they can have I don't remember the percentages, but 10% for the Steelers game. So it's basically about almost 7,000, and then it will go up. Up like 12.5% and then 15%. So they got a 3-game homestand in October. It will go up each time. So basically, you know, unless there's a real change, like, you know, a vaccine, I think the max will probably be about 20%. So, you know, about 15,000 fans in the stands. That's what the Titans have kind of planned for in terms of, you know, having the seats figured out, having the concourse figured out. So if things go well, I think that's where it will settle for the rest of the year. And, you know, I mean, I don't know how much of an impact that'll make. Like, that's not enough crowd to probably mess with the other team, mess with the snap count or anything. But 15,000 fans is at least enough for, like, players to get endorphins in their brains when they score touchdowns and feel like someone cares, you know, other than, like, their teammates. So, you know, there's some energy. I mean, I think it's going to be really weird Sunday. I've covered Nashville SC game here, you know, at the stadium with no fans, and it's weird, man. I mean, but you can, yeah. It is kind of cool. Like, you can hear everything, everybody's yelling on the sideline, but very, very strange, no doubt about it.
Boy, that Mayor Cooper, man, he is taking it on the chin this week on social media. Like, I thought, I tried to follow a wide variety of opinions and stuff on Twitter, and all I see is, you know, people on one side of it are saying, oh, he's caving to the fear mongering and all that, and then the other side are saying, well, he's caving to the to the people who are pushing back against the fear mongering. He's got no friends except I would hope when he goes home at night is just about the only support he's getting these days, it seems.
I'm sure it's not an easy job in a pandemic to be a mayor. There was a story the TV station Nashville put out this week that kind of made it look like there was a cover up, that there were a low number of cases traced to the bars. And it kind of looked like a cover up. And that has been debunked. There was actually a story written about that 6 weeks ago, like with the numbers in them and everything. So that was sort of a reporter screwing it up. But still, I mean, you know, I mean, look, the bottom line is people are still, you can go to Nashville right now, you can go to a lot of places and walk in indoors and see a lot of people, you know, sitting there, you know, you take off their masks, and it's like, okay, this is okay, but an outdoor stadium, you can't have people. That was what a lot of, especially, you know, of course, Titan fans were really upset about. So he's helped himself with this decision. But, yeah, I mean, I think until this ends, man, a tougher job than normal.
Lonely job.
Joe, we don't get political on here. When we have you on here, we usually never do. But, man, that Fox reporter got dumped on. I mean, I'm sorry. I've read through all the emails now, the reporting back on August 4th of 2020 talking about these numbers. Man, that was just That was just some bad journalism. That's about as good as I could say it, I guess.
Yeah, he messed it up. He messed it up, you know, and I don't know exactly. I really do think it was a miss, and this is just me reading it from the outside. I don't know, but it looks right. Like he just misunderstood it. And, of course, Freedom of Information Act gets you all that stuff. And so, you know, it was definitely, and, of course, you know, it was oversold, certainly. Now, I think there's still fair criticism in terms of, you know, even being reluctant to release the numbers, which the mayor's office was. I think that's ripe to be criticized. And I think, you know, more transparency is a good thing. And I think it is fair to ask the question, like, why, you know, if the cases are that low, I mean, you know, it's a worthwhile discussion to have. But yes, that got to Newsweek at least. So this is the problem sometimes with, like, the social media and everything. So that report, which was wrong, gets out there. People react to it. I reacted to it. I mean, I saw that. I'm like, oh, here comes the news dump that Titans fans are going to be in the stadium this fall, you know? And then you see, that, like you said, Trey, six weeks earlier, the report, and I know Nate Rao really well, the reporter who did it, but Newsweek, it still gets to them, and they aggregate it and run it, and it's like, oh, the Nashville mayor covering it up, you know? And it's like, oh, this, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, you know?
I know, dude. It was crazy. Once I saw it on a prominent Fox News network, I knew things had hit the fan. But hey, it is what it is. When we talk about SEC football, Joe, the news about Kate Mays, and we still got to wait on the SEC, and that's, you know, that might take. The best way I can explain it is Joey Gatewood from Kentucky. Reportedly, he's been waiting on the SEC for 2.5 weeks now. So we don't know when we'll get those verdicts from Greg Sankey and the conference. And I'm starting to wonder, you know, would Joey Gatewood be released before the Auburn game, a team that he came from? Or would it be, you know, pushed back a week afterwards? How do you think this plays out? We don't see this a lot, Joe, so that's why there's a lot of questions more than there is answers, because they're usually grad transfers. So what do you think about the SEC being the ones now that can make the decision?
I mean, to me, it's just got to be a rubber stamp, right? And frankly, I mean, I think that with the NCAA, too, I think it's ridiculous it got to this on this. I mean, eligibility is frozen. So, like, isn't it just a different year when stuff like this is just, yeah, go ahead. You know, and I understand, you know, people could say, well, that could be problematic, too. But you know what? It's a week from the season. So, I really would hope that Greg Sankey has just been busy, you know, and this is just coming around here like Monday or something. Like, here you go, you're good. If the NCAA approves it, I can't imagine that there's a problem here. I did appreciate that Jeremy Pruitt made sure to say some very nice things about Greg Sankey in his comments yesterday, you know, just to be sure, you know, just to make sure he's a very nice guy, does a great job for the student athletes. Now I can't, like, it just would make no sense to me at all that the SEC would even consider not putting the rubber stamp on this thing.
Somebody that used to cover the Big Ten like yourself, what was your feeling on how things have gone this week with the Big Ten, the Pac-12 jumping back in the boat, you got the MAC that are meeting this weekend, your overall take on, you know, did they rush this thing, man? Were they promised more rapid antigen testing? Just your thoughts on Big Ten, Pac-12, maybe MAC.
Yeah, crazy. And, you know, obviously the Big Ten botched it. I will tell you, the most surprising thing of all that is the Pac-12, because, I mean, like, as of 3 days ago, I was like, no, I mean, the governor of California, there's just no way. They're not allowing gatherings that would even allow you to ever practice. And now it's like, yeah, you can do it. I think, if the Big Ten, if they knew the rapid testing was available back then, would that have, like, would they have just gone ahead and done it? I don't know. I mean, they also were citing the myocarditis. Well, I'm botching some words today. Myocarditis. I should know this word by now. Studies. You know, which it's like there's new information on that every day. And the Ohio State doctor said, you know, like, I never said that this would be a reason someone couldn't play. I mean, and then you got the Nebraska basically like, we're going to leave the league, and Ohio, all these parents marching. Harbaugh's like, my president won't return my tax. I mean, the whole league has just been a complete disaster. I will say that, and I've seen, you know, you're going to see those takes flying around. I will raise my hand and say, when I covered the Big Ten, I saw Jim Delaney try to push this holier-than-thou thing with the Big Ten as it relates to the SEC. It was always bogus. It was always BS. And, here, you know, I've seen some takes that are like, oh, the Big Ten, you've sunk to the SEC's level. Listen, man, this is a league full of football factories just like the SEC. And then there's, like, Northwestern and there's Vanderbilt, okay? So let's be real. There's no difference. And, look, bottom line is I'm glad they're doing this. It's great for college football. It's great for a lot of kids who've been working their butts off up there. It's great for people who hopefully won't get furloughed or lose their jobs because there's a lot more money coming in that wouldn't be coming in. And I also understand, like, the hesitance to do any of this, too. I mean, it's not simple. It's not easy. But, you know, I'm glad they're doing it. I will say this, too, guys. 5% positivity rate, that is crazy. If you think about, I mean, they better have some serious real bubbles.
Yeah.
Or else they're going to have 3-game seasons for some of these teams. And I can't wait. 4-0 Ohio State and like 9-1 Georgia to be matched up against each other for the last spot. You know, that'll be fascinating.
It's interesting to me how this thing's going to play out when it comes to SEC football. Joe, it's last question for me, and we'll let you go. The situation at quarterback for some of these schools in the SEC, particularly Georgia. There's a report out today that JT Daniels is not medically cleared to participate in a game. They could be starting a freshman, redshirt freshman for them this year. Does that take away any kind of advantage that Georgia might have over Florida or Tennessee in the SEC East? How would that play out if JT Daniels doesn't play for 3 of the opening games?
Yeah, I mean, you got to think so, right? I mean, that's some opportunity there. I'll be honest, I wasn't even totally sold on Jamie Newman. I think he's a nice player. But, you know, this is absolutely troubling for them. I think their defense is amazing, and they're still loaded overall top to bottom. But, yeah, I think there's some opportunity. You know, Tennessee early in the season, I mean, you think about – I really think that there's an opportunity there with the Vols. Like you said, you know, Florida, I don't know if I'd say Florida's the favorite or not. It's certainly closer. But, yeah, that could be a big deal, no doubt about it, and a little bit of the door cracking open.
For Tennessee, right?
Yeah, really. I mean, I tell you what, you know. I mean, look, Tennessee, it's like the same thing. Yeah. Like, look, if Garantano – I don't know, like, how close is he to, like, what his absolute best is? I don't know. I mean, we saw some good stuff from him down the stretch last year. A year ago, obviously, it was a real problem, but it was also first year in Chaney's offense. I mean, if he's good, look, this offensive line now, I tell you what, how many better ones are there out there? And if you can dictate things with that and help him with that and the young receivers come along and everything, I tell you what, I think it could be interesting.
Well, we can all dream. Only a little over a week to go. 8 days, Joe. SEC football just around the corner.
Incredible. I can't say. I mean, how many times have we talked about, like, what's your confidence level and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I can't say it was ever all that high, you know? But
yeah.
Here we are. So kudos to the SEC. Yep.
Good stuff. Joe, have a great weekend. I'm sure we'll talk again soon at Joe Rexroad on Twitter. Joe Rexroad, thanks so much.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
Yep. See ya. Joe Rexroad of The Athletic making his presence felt this afternoon on The Drive. We got to take a quick time out right here. If you want to jump in, go ahead and take a shot. Speak now, forever hold your peace. The shocking conclusion of The Drive coming up next. 865-546-8200. Back to wrap things up after this.
The Drive.
Wrapping up The Drive Friday afternoon. When we come back Monday, it will be game week.
Yeah.
Game week here on The Drive.
We'll have depth charts.
Looking forward to it. It's going to be unbelievable. It's going to be scintillating. It is going to be hype. Man, we're also about 2 months away from Mike Tyson's return. Did you guys see the video of him just about taking his trainer's head off?
Yeah, I did.
I guess you know that's part of the deal when you jump in the ring for to be Mike Tyson's trainer and let him throw shots at you.
That looked absolutely brutal.
Did you see what Tyson said? Hold on, I gotta go find it.
Ludicrous.
I gotta go find it.
It's ludicrous. I'm a standing, a scintillating. I'm gonna murder his children.
He's gonna eat his children.
I'm gonna eat your children. I'll make you love me.
So here's what Roy Jones Jr. said, quote, "If anything, I made a mistake going in with him. He's the bigger guy. He's the explosive guy. He's going to have the first round fireworks, not me." Since he's a smaller guy, maybe 40 or 50 pounds smaller.
Oh, yeah. Roy's down there training in Pensacola. He'll try to resurrect his career. Mike Tyson exhibition going to end up getting CETTE off one shot. I don't know.
Here's,
I'm looking forward to it.
Here's the Tyson quote. This was on the Dan Patrick show when asked how much fun he wanted to have with the fight. You want to have fun, Mike? Here's the quote, Bear. "My definition of fun is broken eye sockets, broken jaw, broken ribs. That's fun to me."
Roy said that?
No, Mike Tyson said that.
Well, yeah. I mean,
he's back.
Tyson, dude.
He's back.
He's crazy.
Have you heard, did you listen to either of the, Joe Rogan did two long, like 2 or 3 hour podcasts with him. Have you heard either of those?
No.
The first,
man, I don't really care for Joe Rogan a whole lot.
The first one was really good because this was before he was going to come back, and he was like, "No, you know, that's, it wasn't even an idea." But apparently, he's mellowed. He smokes weed all the time now, and he was just like, "Yeah, I'm mellowed out. He's a homebody." He's talking about how crazy he used to be back in the day. That's really good. If you're a fight fan, go back and find that from like 2 years ago. And then he did one, another Rogan, like a month or so ago, where he's like the old Mike. He's like, "Yeah, I'm going to kill this guy." He's back.
He owns one of the biggest dispensaries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's
that's
not,
why he's mellow.
He's not smoking anymore, though. He's
No, he's in training. I'll tell you, he's got a giant farm I saw on one of the social media outlets. Jim Belushi. He grows mad amounts of the wacky weed. I mean, like crazy.
I was wondering, like, would that be a good thing? Because eventually it's going to be, they'll probably have medical marijuana here and then maybe recreational eventually. Like, would that be a good business to get in on the ground floor, like start learning how to grow the weed?
I mean, you could if you were, you know, you might be able to do
it. I mean,
it,
serious.
Like, from a designer standpoint. But the problem is I've read articles about it. Big tobacco.
Sure.
Big. What the hell is that supposed to mean?
Nothing. Go ahead.
I'm trying to bring you a nuance.
Okay.
We're having a nuanced conversation.
Yes.
You're asking me an investment question. I'm trying to give you a straight answer.
I always come to you for my investment advice.
All right.
I'm
well,
not a grass expert.
It's not a big shock. Big tobacco. If basically what they're saying is big tobacco. If it ever goes recreational, they'll immediately move to basically corner the market on it.
So are they going to have spliffs?
No, Trey. They're just really good at growing, you know, plants that people smoke.
They're just really
they've
good
got a whole,
at it.
They've got a whole
getting young children addicted to very harmful substances. They've kind of got it down to a science. Just throw some sort of cartoon character on the box and the kids will eat it up.
Just try it out in your backyard, Russ. Just start growing about 6-7 plants. See what goes from there.
Yeah. Until,
officer, I'm just experimenting here.
Lands their anti-drug task force helicopter in the front yard of Stately Smith Manor. They come through the windows and they're full on, you know, military outfitted commando gear.
No, these were marijuana seeds. I'm sorry.
Speaking of weed, I'm sorry for all the weed talk today. I find that to be
Trey.
Very lowbrow.
That's not my, wait a minute, what?
Low-hanging fruit.
I just find it, to be lowbrow. Like,
KMA.
Sheltered.
I'm not coming at you, Trey. Like, relax.
I am.
Relax, buddy.
Yeah, you saw
okay.
his letters. KMA.
It's okay.
Say Twitter, Trey. Just tell him. I do it all the time.
We're just talking. We're just talking. Hold on. We're just talking here. We're just a couple of guys talking about weed on the radio. It's okay.
Go ahead with your weed story, Russ.
The Warsaw Zoo has said it will start giving elephants, not making this up, Warsaw Zoo says it will start giving its elephants medical marijuana as part of a groundbreaking pilot project to test how it reduces their stress levels.
You know what? You know what would reduce their stress levels? Get them the hell out of the zoo and protect them from getting shot by jackasses.
Can we, like, let's be honest here.
Hold on. They're one of God's most majestic creatures.
Let's be honest here. Can we cut the crap for just a second, Warsaw zookeepers? Y'all are just looking for a way to get your hands on a lot of weed.
Yeah.
Oh, it's for the elephant, man. We're doing some research here.
I don't know if you're aware of this, Russell, but most elephants in zoos and circuses are depressed. A very sensitive soul.
I'd just like to know how big the edible's going to have to be to get an elephant high.
I imagine pretty big. I watched a video yesterday.
That elephant's got three tusks.
No,
that's just a big doobie. We turned on some Grateful Dead for him and let him fire one up.
You're an idiot. Idiot.
A whole cabbage of infused marijuana.
Hey, he's chewing on a tree branch. No, that's an elephant blunt. And Bob roll that thing. He's been working on it all day. It's about 5 pounds of Maui Wowie right there. Yeah, we got to bring him 300 pounds of ice cream when this is all done.
I'm glad you and Trey are amused.
That damn elephant's going to just dip. That's
elephant's eyes are all red. Like, what have you been doing, man?
Can't get the thing back up.
Medical cannabis has been used worldwide to treat dogs and horses, but, quote, this is probably the first initiative of its kind for elephants, according to Agnieszka Zaguszka, the veterinarian in charge of the project. Zoos, I think I botched that worse than Bear botched Giannis's name earlier on the show. The zoo's three African elephants will be given a liquid dose of high concentration of the relaxing cannabinoid through their trunks.
Cannabinoids.
The veterinarian said the substance causes neither euphoria nor harmful side effects on the liver and kidneys, so it's all good. They're just trying to mellow these elephants out.
Oh, so they're giving them, got them drawing a blank.
CBD?
That's basically what they're giving, CBD.
Just trying to mellow them out a little bit. Let's go.
They're not trying to mellow them out. They're trying to make them not depressed, Russell.
Let's go to...
What's an elephant therapist look like?
Yeah, I know. That's a problem. The problem with the world, man. We don't throw drugs at everything. You get them in a room with a good cognitive behavioral therapist. Tell me about your mother a little bit. Explain the relationship
to me,
here.
Big fella.
And how do you feel about that?
Here's a banana.
All right, wrapping up here on the show. Let's get Shane and then Roger. Good afternoon, Shane. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Hey, doing all right. Thanks.
Never called in before, so I guess that might be. Detriment to my opinion on things, since you're talking about weed and I've never called in before.
You're fine.
But I just thought it was funny that Trey said he had never smoked since 2012, but then you bring up the big tobacco. He's like, where are they going to have spliffs? And then he's talking about the elephants. How strong are those edibles going to have to be?
You know a lot about weed for a guy who hasn't smoked since 2012,
yeah.
Trey.
Yeah, I mean, you seem to be well-versed in all things marijuana.
And that's not coming from a state of judgment, buddy. I've been laughing about it.
Pointing out facts, aren't we, Shane?
Excuse me. Have you not watched any kind of documentary television in the last 10 years?
Okay. So here we go, Shane. I watch documentaries.
So you just watch a lot of documentary on weed?
No, yeah. there's shows everywhere about it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I you know, I'm I keep a close ear on when it's going to be legal, too, so I can stop drinking a 12-pack every afternoon.
Exactly.
Thank you. Thank you, Shane. Good to hear from you. Great first call to the show.
Fantastic. Outstanding.
Thanks,
Shane.
Man. Have a great weekend. Let's get Roger in here. Rog, you're going to be our final caller of the week. Roger, what up, baby?
Oh, no, hold up. Not much, Russell. How you doing?
Doing well.
How you doing?
Doing all right. Thank you.
Good. Bear, Trey, how y'all doing?
Doing pretty good, Rog. I'm ready for the weekend, my man.
Doing great.
I hear you. It's the same way. That's why I asked you real quick about the. I know that tomorrow night Tennessee plays at Powell at home. That's why I asked you how you think that Tennessee. I know Powell is a good team. They're a good team too. Both good teams. But how you see Tennessee doing at home against Powell tomorrow night, Russell?
Throw the records out the window. I don't even know what they are anyway, Roger. It's going to be a free-for-all. It's going to be a brawl. It's going to be a good old-fashioned slobber knocker, a Donnybrook, a brouhaha up there on the north side. I think to be the man, you got to beat the man. Central's two-time defending state champion. I'll take the Bobcats.
All right. Okay. Yeah. See.
You. I'm going with the Bobcats.
How about you, Bear and Trey? How you think it's going to go?
I'm going to have to go with the Bobcats.
Okay.
I'm going to go
with Powell. All right. I'd be curious to how it goes. I'd be curious to how I know Powell's going to get off and defense. Going to get defense. I'd be curious to how the both sides how Tennessee's. Does get Powell's the offense, you know, because I know both teams are good. So it'd be curious to how both teams do, you know. But Russell, why not? You know, with Powell's offense being good and his defense being good, so it should be a fun game to watch. Hopefully, you know,
the unstoppable force against the immovable object. Something's got to give. It's going to be a classic, Rog. It's going to be a classic.
Yeah, it will, and. Are you going to watch any games tomorrow?
I'm going to be watching Louisville and Miami. That's about it. And unless something, there's an upset that pops up. But, Rog, we got to run, buddy. Great hearing from you. Have a great weekend.
Sure. All right, man. Bye.
So on the way out the door, I want to say a special happy birthday wish to one of my number one fans, a long-suffering woman who's put up too much from her ingrate sons. Yeah, sons, plural. Ooh. Your mama. Bear's mom. What? Happy birthday to Bear's mom. You don't even know, do you? You don't even know.
God.
You don't even know.
Happy birthday, Mom.
What kind of son are you? It's an outrage. It's an outrage. You go do something special for that lady. She's a saint, Bear. You don't deserve her. You don't deserve her. Big thanks to Drew Nicholson for all his hard work behind the scenes. Thank you, Trey, Bear. Love you guys. Have a great weekend. Y'all be safe. Overtime coming up next.
The Drive.